Everything that is built upon a foundation, and that goes for physical structures and for spiritual ones as well. Psalms 11:3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What is the foundation that God's Word speaks of? Jesus spoke of foundation in Matthew 7:24-27. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. God's word is the rock, the foundation of abundant, even eternal life. 1 Corinthians 3:11, for other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Revelation 19:13 speaks of Jesus Christ, and it states, and his name is called the Word of God. The Word of God is life's foundation. Satan's M.O. is to kill, steal, and destroy. He is a dead spirit, and his pleasures are found in destruction. He is a liar and the father of lies. Satan knows right well that God's Word is the foundation and source of all life, so it is his mission to destroy it in the hearts of men that he might have his way with them. Are you building your life on a true foundation? Have you been born again? Are you ready for a brand new life? Are you ready to repent of your sins and surrender your life to Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory? Are you ready for the power to live a vibrant and clean life? Then today is your day of salvation. Today will be the best day of your life, and tomorrow will be better. Click on the Further with Jesus for childlike instructions and immediate entry into the kingdom of God. Don't let Satan have his way with you. Now for today's subject. God said, Genesis 2:16-17, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. God said, Genesis 3:22-24, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden, to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims, and a flaming sword, which turned every way, to keep the way of the tree of life. God said, Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. God said, Romans 5:21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Man said, Adam's 930 years, Methuselah's 969 years, and Noah's 950 years, plus the idea of Adam and Eve's original immortality, are farcical. Now the record. Welcome to God Said, Man Said. This is feature article 623 that will once again prove the full inerrancy of the Holy Bible. All of these features are archived on this site in text and streaming audio for the edification of the saints, and as ammunition in the battle for the souls of men. Use the tools available on this site for your ministry. Use the search bar above to find the information you need. Use the tell a friend feature above to send a particular message, a gospel track, to someone you love. Use the podcast feature to download all the messages on this site to your iPod. Thank you for coming. May the face of our God shine upon you and your family with light and truth. God's word is true and righteous altogether, every single word miraculous and bizarre alike. Every commandment and precept is perfect. Every comforting word is sure, reaching deep into the soul. The skeptics are howling at such bold statements, but howling will not change truth. In part one of this three-part series on immortality, we address two Bible pronouncements that have been at the center of much academic ridicule for centuries. One, Adam and Eve were created to live forever, but as a result of Eve and Adam eating of the forbidden fruit, they and all their progeny became partakers of sin and death. Two, during the 1656 years from Adam to the global flood, the average lifespan of a man was 911 years. In feature one, we established the scientific functionality of the biblical concept of immortality and 911 average years. If you have not visited last week's feature, we recommend that you stop now and review it. We'll wait for you here. The day that Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, they died spiritually with mortal death following years later. And the very same day that they ate of the fruit, they were booted out of paradise. Biologically, they appeared the same as they were 5 minutes before they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but something very spiritual and very deadly happened on the inside. Part two will begin a dialogue about things that happened on the inside that began this terrible cascade of death. Whether the deadly tree had something physically harmful in its fruit is not stated, but something eternally deadly was in the deed. The passage in Genesis quoted earlier tells us that they were banned from eating from the tree of life, which assured their death, but keep in mind that they still lived to over 911 years of age. After the flood that took place in the days of Noah, life was shortened to a promised 120 years, Genesis 6:3, and then finally settling down to Psalms 90, verse 10, "The days of our years are 70 years and 10, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." What perpetrated this steady demise was something taking place on the inside as well as something taking place on the outside. This feature will focus on the inside of Adam and Eve. Let's once again review Genesis 2:16 and 17. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." The name of the deadly tree is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Prior to our great-grandparents' disobedience, they had no knowledge of good or evil. A biblical definition of sin is found in James 4:17, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Consider Romans 3:20, "Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." Romans 5:13, "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law." With the knowledge of good and evil came the law of sin and death, which science knows as the second law of thermodynamics. Biologically, Adam and Eve appeared the same as they did before sin, but something happened on the inside. Consider the totally new mental and emotional changes Adam and Eve experienced immediately after the fall. Genesis 3:7 through 12, "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, The woman who thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." They knew they were naked. They now had the knowledge of good and evil. They were guilty and ashamed and tried to cover their nakedness with fig leaves. They were afraid and hid themselves from God. Jesus said in John 3:19 through 21, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Adam implicates God and Eve in his fallen condition. Eve places her blame on the serpent. Something was happening on the inside. Adam and Eve's new spiritual condition is the dead one, as is the condition of all their offspring. Concerning salvation and sin, Ephesians 2:1 reads, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." All of us were spiritually stillborn. The psalmist writes in 51 verse 5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Ephesians 2 verse 5, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." In order to escape the bondage of death and sin, we needed to be born again, born a second time, this time of the Spirit of God. The spirit of eternal life no longer dwelt in Adam and Eve. Consequently, they could not pass it on. Instead, Satan's carnaldom now resides. Something happened on the inside. Check out the following short list of spiritual conditions now taking place on the inside that pre-sin Adam and Eve never knew. The knowledge of good and evil, guilt, shame, fear, accusatory nature, uncertainty, wrath, stress, sorrow, condemnation, regret, bitterness, slothfulness, hatred, complaining, envy, grudges, negative thoughts, lust, unforgiveness, and so on. All of these traits literally cause physical death. It's true that immortality was lost, but these spiritual conditions also directly shorten natural life and the quality of life. Adam and Eve appeared to be the same biologically as they were before sin, but something was happening on the inside. Consider the following research concerning what is taking place on the inside. According to Dr. Jordan S. Rubin in his book, The Maker's Diet, sudden stress is the most common trigger for fatal heart attacks. You cannot afford fear and stress. The results are deadly. The Word of God spends considerable time teaching its adherents the supernatural power of shifting fear and stress and even easily handling sudden fear. Modern science is just beginning to understand the truly debilitating workings of fear and stress. Techniques for relief are fully, repetitively recorded in the Holy Bible and are just recently beginning to be understood. How could these ancient writers have known thousands of years ago the intricacies of psychology's latest discoveries? The answer is, of course, that the words of the Bible are the words of God, the Creator, who fully understands the makeup of man. Stress participates in a myriad of physical as well as psychological disorders. Consider the following. March 22, 2004, WebMD. Anger, frustration, and other mental stress can trigger abnormal heart rhythms that may lead to sudden death, new research shows. Under the heading Bad Attitude, October 2003, Better Nutrition magazine, researchers have consistently suggested that people with negative attitudes suffer significantly higher rates of stress, depression, and disease. September 24, 2003, WebMD. As if life isn't stressful enough, Swedish researchers say that being under stress may double a woman's risk of developing breast cancer. June 13, 2003, WebMD, a headline reads, "How Stress Causes Miscarriage." The final paragraph of the feature reads, "But more immediately, he says his finding offers more proof of the hazards of emotional stress on pregnancy. We now know the effects of stress on the fetus are very real and produce a specific physiologic reaction in the uterus," he tells WebMD. "So you really need to reduce it whatever way you can," end of quote. In the book Deadly Emotions, Dr. Don Colbert writes, "According to the American Institute of Stress, between 75 and 90% of all visits to primary care physicians result from stress-related disorders," end of quote. Dr. Colbert also reports that 2.4 million adults in the United States are affected by panic attacks. I assure you that the numbers are skyrocketing during these tumultuous times. Stress is a killer, and God's plan for shifting stress is truly life and life more abundantly. Coming unto God in prayer and mixing the Word of God with faith yields phenomenal results. Concerning prayer, a subhead in March 2006 article in the magazine First reads, "The Silent Dialogue proven to reduce stress hormone levels by 40% and melt away 36% more body fat." The following is an excerpt from that article. To understand the mechanism behind the miracle, we turn to world-renowned expert Harry C. Koenig, M.D. of Duke University and co-author of The Healing Power of Prayer. He says this, "An ongoing dialogue with a higher power calms the amygdala, the brain's stress serenity command center," he explains. "It also increases activity of the brain's soothing alpha waves. This prevents the adrenal glands from releasing a flood of harmful cortisol. In fact, a study from the Shimane Institute of Health Science in Japan found that this type of calming activity reduces cortisol by up to an astounding 40%. That can translate into major weight loss, maintains Sean Talbot, Ph.D., author of The Cortisol Connection. In my research, those who reduced cortisol by 20% lost 9 times more weight, including 18% more body fat and 9% more belly fat," end of quote. Stress unchecked is a killer. In a Newsweek article titled Stress, the lead paragraph states, "A whole new body of research shows the damage stress wreaks on the body, not just heart disease and ulcers, but loss of memory, diminished immune function, and even a particular type of obesity," end of quote. A headline of a feature article on WebMD cited new findings from research conducted by Johns Hopkins University, and it read, "Irritability, griping, and anger hasten heart disease." The following paragraphs are from that article. Although previous studies have pointed to a link between anger and heart disease later in life, researchers say it's the first time anger has been shown to affect the risk of heart problems before age 55. In fact, men who said they expressed or concealed their anger, became irritable, or engaged in gripe sessions were 5 times more likely to have an early heart attack than their calmer counterparts. In this study, hot tempers predicted disease long before traditional risk factors like diabetes and hypertension became apparent, says study author Patricia P. Chang, M.D., a cardiology fellow at Johns Hopkins University, in the news release. Her study appears in today's issue of the Archives of Internal Medicine. Irritable, complaining, griping, angry individuals are 500% more likely to have an early heart attack. Be careful what you speak, because you will eat the fruit from your lips. Proverbs 18:20, "A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled." Ladies Home Journal, in an article about mental well-being, says this, "Yet medical researchers estimate that more than 75% of the thoughts we have every day are negative and counterproductive, working against us instead of supporting our well-being and happiness. What we tell ourselves about ourselves and our lives day after day has a tremendous effect on shaping our reality for good or bad. It is now known that bone marrow produces white and red blood cells prolifically when one focuses on happy, positive thoughts, words. When negative, destructive thoughts, words, are doted upon, the bone marrow's production is inhibited. White blood cells kill disease, and red blood cells bring oxygen and life. We are made out of words. Therefore, the human body, as well as all of creation, responds to them." Fear, another major deleterious emotion, delivers far-reaching, debilitating results. When faith is absent, the spirit of fear resides. This world's population is laden with phobias because of the spirit of fear. The great news is that there is a very real and powerful solution. Stress and fears are doors, enormous doors, through which Satan finds easy access into the lives of mankind. In order to enjoy great and glorious success, these doors must be slammed shut with authority. And the secret of that authority is found in the Holy Bible. God Said, Man Said addressed research concerning the subject of erasing memory several years ago. Psychology Today, in its March-April 2012 issue under the heading Wiping the Slate, is updating scientific progress. We are all troubled by certain memories: a schoolyard bully, a heart-wrenching breakup, the loss of a loved one. But if you could forget parts of your past, would you really want to? What would that mean for who you are? Such questions are the stuff of science fiction, but not for long. In the past few years, there has been a huge body of work on the neural mechanisms of fear memories, writes University of Michigan neuroscientist Stephen Marin in a recent review in Neutron. There is now considerable evidence that they can be erased. Scientists have already developed drugs that can delete memories in rats, but figuring out how to target them is the holy grail, says Marin. We don't want to just erase the day in your life when this thing happened. Even taking the emotional sting out of a traumatic memory has its risk. Remorse keeps behavior in check. Without it, people could do terrible things without any fear of crippling regret. And the pain of violence is part of what motivates victims to prosecute assailants. End of quote. Science is searching for the answers, but we'll find that God's word is already there with the solution. How miraculous and marvelous that God, via the born-again transformation, has removed the bad effects, guilt, shame, and trauma of bad memories without destroying the education of the memory. For example, the stove is hot, don't touch it. At the point of being born again, an entire spiritual, mental, and physical transformation begins at light speed and continues until we see Jesus face to face, at which time we will be perfected. Concerning our salvation, 2 Corinthians 5:17 reads, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." When one is born again, God erases the guilt and the shame, even the ownership, without losing the educational benefit. End of quote. The above was a short sampling of things happening on the inside as the result of eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God cautioned Adam and Eve in Genesis 2:17, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." In an act of unbelief and disobedience, Eve ate and Adam followed. That day they died spiritually, were banned from the tree of life and cast out of paradise, and things began happening on the inside that continued to yield deadly, life-shortening results. Next week, God willing, something happened on the outside. God said Genesis 2:16-17, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." God said Genesis 3:22-24, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." God said Romans 5:12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." God said Romans 5:21, "That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Man said, Adam's 930 years, Methuselah's 969 years, and Noah's 950 years, plus the idea of Adam and Eve's original immortality, is farcical. Now you have the record.